Hey there, this is Dan Delta Collins. You're listening to Wandering DMs. Wandering DMs is broadcast live every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on twitch.tv/wanderingdms and also youtube.com/wanderingdms. And now, we hope you enjoy the show.
Hi everyone, welcome to Wandering DMs. I'm Paul.
And I'm Dan, and today on Wandering DMs, we're going to be finishing our fifth dungeon design dash. Last time we tried to stock an entire dungeon in 1 hour. We got some of the main ideas down, but we didn't get to all the side areas. So with help from our viewers today, we'll put the flesh on that skeleton. All that and more today on Wandering DMs.
Dan, before we get into it, I will remind our viewers that at the end of the show, we will be hosting our After Party chat. That is a live video chat hosted by Dan and I and accessible to all of our patrons. You can join in by simply becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/wanderingdms, join at any tier, and you'll get an invite to our private Discord server. Hop on over there before the end of the show. We'll take a little break after the show and maybe 10 or 15 minutes after the hour, that'll be around 2:10 Eastern. We will be online on Discord hosting our after party chat.
Yeah, we have the best patrons. And for example, thanks to Vacuous for checking in. We are currently live on Twitch and YouTube and ReStreamBot. And we always enjoy getting some personal FaceTime with our patrons on Discord right after the show. So thanks for that reminder, Paul. Let's see. So we hadn't done a design dash in a while, and I guess we're kind of stretching our muscles. We're kind of stretching our muscles back on that. Yeah. So we're taking two episodes to fill out our den. Remind me, Paul, what we're working on last time.
Great. Let's review where we stand. So here, let me bring up the document. This is the Infested Perch of the Mammoth Egg, which was a title generated for us by Matt Finch's delightful Tome of Adventure Design. So we got a little map here that is originally by Dyson Logos, and I've made a few small alterations to it. We got about 11 areas. Background text is still just placeholder here, but the general idea of the dungeon, I believe, is that the group is hired because... Was it livestock, I think, were dying locally or being killed, they thought, by some kind of predator or disease of some sort. Mm-hmm, so you're going to check it out. And of course, it turns out as you investigate this dungeon, you will find a very young green dragon who lives down in this dungeon, who's been infested with some kind of parasite or disease or something. So there's around. I'm just going to jump down here and look at the text that we've written so far. In the entryway, we have a group of 8 human veterans who've almost emerged from the dungeon with some treasure, but they're all infected. Some of them are completely incapacitated, and some of them are just at some minuses. So unclear if that would be like a social encounter or a straight up fight, which I like. Love that entry. Area 2, we have a giant size, the nest, the actual nest. So it's right there. You get to discover it real quick. Big nest with... infested with poisonous centipedes and some shards of egg, of dragon egg lying around.
Right. And I like that we put that, we front loaded that egg up early in the dungeon. So adventurers will come in, probably see that, have an idea, something got hatched and isn't well around here, but we don't know what it is. And I think, Paul, that the little bit of a backstory that we're leaving hazy is that there had to be some adult dragons around previously, and they either abandoned the sick one or they were eliminated by adventurers or something like that. But the adults aren't around anymore.
Yep, that's the idea. And you can looking at the map here, you can see that Area 2 probably had what I guess Dyson intended to be a pillar, and we've now reinterpreted to be the nest, which I think is delightful. Right. So just looking at the map again, because I'm going to have to jump here between the map and the text, we've got this long hall from 3 that leads to 11, which is another kind of big area. We decided, I think, that this was maybe once some kind of ancient temple that is long abandoned, and now the home of this dragon nest. You got this little area down at the bottom, 4, 5, 6, 7, kind of an interesting little rooms off of a central area at number 4 that is recessed into the ground. And then a secret door in 7 that leads down, down, down into room 9, and then eventually 10, which is quite deep. And then, by the way, room 8, they're kind of in the middle.
Right.
I have no idea what's in room 8 yet.
Right.
So let's go back to the text here. Okay, so area 3 is our large hallway that leads to the final main temple. There are statues here, which are a bit of a trap. There's a tripwire. If you hit it, the statues will fall down and hurt you. Our area 4 steps down to a little area that's flooded. There's a fountain, an old broken fountain there that's maybe been blocked up by something and has kind of flooded this little recessed area. Area 5 leads into that recessed pool space. The doors to it are broken and fallen in. The room is damp, and there are two giant toads hunting in that room.
Right.
6, 7, 8, 9. Those are the rooms we haven't done yet. Area 10. Let me jump back to the map here. Area 10. Area 10 is the most recessed, like bottommost, you know, basement-y area. And interestingly, right, this is a case of us kind of turning lemons into lemonade here. There's a secret door from 10 to 11. But when I edited the map, 9 and 10 kind of went up and down such that 10 would be on the same level as 11, so it made sense for them to have secret doors. And when I edited, I sunk 10 way down into a deep basement and forgot that there was a secret door. And I'm like, that doesn't make much sense. So what we decided here is that 10 is the lair of the sick young green dragon. There's a narrow ledge from that secret door in 11 to where the dragon is hanging perched upside down from the ceiling. And the actual floor is a good 50 feet down. So this is a very tall, tall room. At the bottom, the floor is littered with bones and dung, which crawls with infested parasites. Anyone picking through or falling into the dung will be bitten and must save versus poison at +4 or die. Dan, let's remind each other and our viewers here that this is a low-level dungeon. This is a level 1 to 3 dungeon. And boom, there it is, save or die, right there.
You know, you could, you know, in Wandering DM's land, Paul, your low level adventure can die from save or die poison, or, you know, 3 dice of damage. You pick. It's fine with me. Yep. Which way yep. your characters go. You can roll up a new one pretty fast. I'm okay with that. I'll also point out
that our dragon
in original D&D have poison bites as well. So
as do the giant centipedes that are infesting the nest. Yeah, right. Yeah. So there's poison all over the place in this. It is a very poisonful adventure.
It really is.
Okay, last comment about the lair of the dragon is that it's full of fumes. Also, savers of poison are being nauseated. It's a really terrible, terrible place. Just don't go in that room. And then Area 11 is the big end temple. Talks about a golden idol standing upon a platform on the east side. That's about it. So 11, I guess, is, you know, the easy road, allegedly. You know, draw yourselves in, get past that trap, go into 11, see the golden idol, sweet big treasure, rush for it, and then probably be attacked by a very angry, sickly dragon.
From behind.
From behind.
Hello.
Yeah.
I like it.
So that's where we stand. So I'll just remind us that the areas we have not filled are 6, 7, 8, and 9. So 6 and 7 are these kind of rooms off of the flooded kind of central foyer. I don't know what to call that area. Mm-hmm. 8 is this random room along the middle of the large hall on your way towards the big temple. And 9 is an intermediary room down the stairs to the back entrance to the bottom of the dragon's lair. Right. So there we go.
And to be clear,
anything else you want to?
We spent some time thinking about like the overall theme of the dungeon, like, you know, having the title synthesized with the major monster that we've got going on here. So we were kind of carefully tuning the end area and the first couple areas, and then we switched over to classic some random tables to help us flesh out the rest of it. I think is where we left off after those toads that we put down.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So shall we jump right into it, or is there anything else we need to cover before we get going?
I think we should get some stuff, and maybe we'll like move, massage it, or move it around once we see what the whole thing is looking like.
Great. Let's start with Area 6. So, and I'll just show the map here real quick. Area 6 is the doors opposite to the Plateaus. Right, you got to go down into the little flooded space and climb on up. So Dan's going to roll D6 here for the initial contents, or 2D6. You want to roll them together?
Yeah, I'll roll them together. So I got a red die here, and I got a green die. Actually, the green doesn't show up super well, so we'll make it this blue die. So we'll make the red die the, is there a monster or a trap or something else? And the blue die can be the treasure. How about that?
Perfect. I'm looking at the chart here.
So I got a 5 and a 3, which I think says that it's empty and no treasure, right?
That is exactly right. Empty, no treasure. We've got a completely empty room.
You know, if we have a couple minutes, let's chat about this. So there's debate in like classic readers about whether empty really means empty. So in your mind, do you think that when these table results say empty, do you mean that it's literally a totally empty room, or does that mean that we need to make up some other dressing table setting but there's no monsters?
I usually like to put some set dressing in there, right? It's not just like bare stone, completely empty, nothing going on. I like to think about like, well, what was the room prior to the monster? Like what did this room serve as when it was a temple? So what evidence of that can be left behind? But I want to make sure that nothing I put in there is something that will harm the players, right? It's not a trap. Mm-hmm. It's not a monster, right? So there's nothing to harm them there. There's nothing of value other than just solve the mystery of what's going on. So I don't mind if, A, we put some set dressing in there that says, like, this used to be a temple and here's how this room was used. I also don't mind if there's some interesting clue about the rest of the content, right? If there was some useful information about the dragon. But that one, for this particular room, that ladder feels like a stretch to me. I don't see why there would be any dragon evidence in here, or I don't know, source of the illness or any of that stuff.
I agree. And I'll also say I'm actually perhaps more willing than maybe some other folks to actually really have empty rooms with effectively nothing in it. If I want to add some setting, you know, go ahead. But I'm okay with saying this has actually been totally cleared out. In Castle Greyhawk, they were places that didn't even have a key code. There's a bunch of rooms that they didn't even have a code for the room. So obviously there's no set pieces identified there. But I'm willing to go either way. So if we are creative today and think of something, that's great.
Okay, I got a couple ideas for you. One is coming straight from the chat. One's coming straight from the chat. So thank you, ADB. Dan, because I've got the text of the adventure here, I don't have the ability to put comments up on screen. If you wanted to do that, go ahead. But maybe full of frog spawn. I think we call those tadpoles, right? So maybe there's some puddles with like unusually large tadpoles in here. That's an interesting clue as to what's across the hall.
Nice.
Another option is where my head was going was as I was talking about, like, I can't imagine that there's any clue here about the dragon. Of course, my brain then immediately challenged myself of like, well, let me make one up. How could it possibly be a clue about what's going on with the dragon? And so then I started thinking about like, well, what was this a temple to? And where did this infection come from? Is this a natural infection, or is this some kind of curse maybe? Is the god of the temple like maybe some god of plague or pestilence or other like sickness or whatnot? And maybe the dragons, when they decided to make their nest in here, ran afoul of some ancient curse led by that god. So in that
That's
way,
good.
What I would mean, then start to do is yeah, go ahead. You like that?
I mean, you could flip it around that the deity could actually be a deity to medicine or something like that, and having corrupted their temple, flip the script as the curse.
That's good. Yep. So maybe I might say that 6 is empty, but the walls are painted with murals of, you know, sick lepers receiving aid by friendly monks or something like that.
Yeah.
Grandfather Nurgle loves you. Thank you. Beautiful. Yep.
What viewers do? What do you like better? Do you like the disease deity or do you like the medicine deity that got angry? Now I'm torn. What's your gut say, Paul?
I kind of like the healing one. It's a little more obscure, and it makes a little more sense, right? Like I could see that, you know, you anger the healing god, and they say, "Great, no healing for you. You get the opposite of that is illness."
Okay,
and it makes more sense, right, to have like. And then and now here I am. Now I'm gonna try and see, like, can we have both of what I was talking about and what ADB wanted? Like, what if we have murals on the walls of monks tending sick leprous people and puddles on the floor with very large tadpoles in them?
I like the dichotomy.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's creepy. Feels creepy. Yeah, I like it.
Okay, so I'm going to write some quick notes here again. So my text writing at this point, I'll remind folks, this is not the final text. I write just very quick notes to self kind of here, and then we usually come back afterwards, and I edit it into more verbose language here. But I'm going to say, walls are covered with murals of kindly monks tending to sick lepers. Does anyone even need to say lepers? Maybe a sick, rather? Can I just say lepers?
Sure.
Is that no longer PC? I don't know.
I think it would be more jarring to say Hansen's disease.
Cool. Okay. Great. Floor has several puddles with large tadpoles. Containing large tadpoles.
Nice.
Great. Delightful. I think that's a great empty room, which is not empty at all. There's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. That's gross. I'm thinking of the times and the thing is they're flopping, or it's not deep enough. So they're like flopping around on the ground mostly. It's like, bleh, gross.
I was thinking there are cases where like, maybe there's like, I don't know, like, I keep wanting to say that there's oh, now my words are failing me. But holes, right? There's like maybe places where the brickwork has come out, or there's where the water is maybe a little bit deeper, so you could have a big tadpole. But yeah, also sure, why not? A foot long tadpole flopping around in barely enough water to contain it is disgusting. Cool.
Yeah.
Flies? Gross. Flies maybe flying around in the
that we need to add that to four, right? I think the whole this whole subcomplex of four and the attached areas, right? That central area. I think we need to say that there's insects buzzing around in four, which provides a clue to what's feeding it on it in the side
That's
rooms.
Great. That's great. I'm gonna just jump back here into four and say it just says steps down 2 feet of water, small fountain, and the center has been blocked up and flooded. This space, flies buzz around the ceiling and walls. Great. Yep. Disgusting. This is what a disgusting. did you know that we were going to make such a foul?
I did not. You know, if you pitch this as a movie, I'm not watching that. But I'll run it.
Okay. All right. Let's jump to area 7, Dan. So 7 is interesting because it has the secret door to. The basements.
Right.
But it's also... Here's
the point in the process where I hope I don't just keep rolling empty for everything else, right? which sometimes happen, but that's what happens when you trust the random dice. Okay, so again, red coming first. I got 2, 6. So that's a monster without treasure.
With no treasure, you're right. Yep, no treasure.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so we got monster in number 7.
Okay, so I'm gonna randomly roll for a monster. So first of all, here comes a D6 with a level of the monster, and higher is a more severe monster. Okay, that's a level 2 monster, and we're trying to make a level 2 dungeon, so that checks out. And then if I go to my OED monster list, I'm gonna roll a D12. Which suggests to us yellow mold, Paul. Would you like some yellow mold in our dungeon?
I, In fact, I love it. I love it because maybe the yellow mold is, first of all, we've got a wet space, so mold makes sense. And yeah, maybe the mold is covering the walls. And so in order to find the secret door, you're going to have to scrape the yellow mold off.
Nice. Freaking nice. Yes. Nice. Ugh, gross. This is the worst. This is the most horrible dungeon I've ever made. Brilliant.
Cool. Okay, so I just wrote, the walls are covered with yellow mold, which must be scraped off to discover the secret door to 9. And then I'll drop a stat block in here for yellow mold, which again, at this stage, I'm just kind of blocking out the stuff, so I'm not bothering to go look up stats yet. We usually do that as
we're gonna, and that's something we generally offload as far for our viewers' purpose. So we come through hopefully the next week is the idea, fill in details about monster stats and maybe tweak, you know, treasure specifics and things like that that we do that offline. The real body of the work is what are the main ideas, what are the main contents, and the details should be left until later. And you know what, I'll say that this is something I've struggled with in the past. I'm the kind of personality where I would fall into a pipe of like, oh, what about the details here, and fail to get the big ideas sketched out. So I think that partly with your help, Paul, I'm doing better with that.
It's very interesting, right? For the sake of the show, yes, we've come up with this format, but I kind of like it now. I feel like if I was writing my own adventure, doing pass with big ideas and just getting rough notes with big ideas in, and then do a second later pass of, okay, come back, just do the busy work of plugging in stats and fleshing it out is nice. I like that. I like that process.
I agree with that. And you might even consider, like, you know, is that an opportunity to farm, like if you're publishing for different editions or something, you could farm that out to like different helpers that were helping you with the different stats there.
Good point. That's a good point. All right, Dan, we're up to area number 8, which is interesting because it is totally disconnected from all of the other areas. And I'm very curious to hear what's going to go into number 8.
So again,
pink double doors. It seems like it's maybe important or was important. So once again, monster.
I got another, with no treasure.
With no treasure. Bit of a bummer. That happens to us regularly on this show, I think, that like we end up with not enough treasure. And we've done this in the past where we've come back and been like, we're going to add some more treasure in. Because it's just not enough.
Yes. For what it's worth, so it's I'll say, level. You know, I have, yes, it is high level. So not many of them. And the dice do suggest, so this would be like a 4th level monster out of 6. So I'm going to roll a d20 here. Okay, so that's number 4, which suggests a gargoyle or two, 1 or 2 gargoyles.
Interesting.
Remember, gargoyles
maybe left over from the previous use. They're something to do with the old, right? They don't seem related to the dragon to me, so I'm guessing they've been here since the old days when it was a temple.
Right. I could roll 1 or 2 more possible monsters and see if it's more interesting.
How bad are gargoyles? Give me the.
Well, you need magic items, right? You need magic weapons to hit them, and low level adventurers may not have that. So gargoyles tend to be this like binary of like, did you have a magic weapon? If yes, doable. If not, really sucks.
Okay, so here's a case where I'm gonna just creatively jump in and try to problem solve and both make the role make sense here. This is a level 1 to 3 adventure. So I'm guessing our party probably does not have many magic items, if any at all. Right? So gargoyles might be out of their reach. But wouldn't it be interesting if you walk into this room and it is like, okay, first of all, let's say, the ideas are just percolating. They're just coming to me, Dan. The doors to this room are locked, right? This room has been sealed since the old days of when it was an active temple.
Okay.
They were locked, but it appears there's evidence that it has been broken into. You come inside and you will discover skeletal remains of a previous adventuring party lying about on the ground, including maybe 1 or 2 magic items they were carrying. And then perched along the you know, in the corners maybe of the far end are a pair of gargoyles looming down at them.
Okay, I like this for a couple reasons. One of the things is, I don't know if you intended that, but I like the fact that you worked the word perch in there, because someone could break in here and think this is the main monster with the perch that's in the title when it's not.
Yep, that's nice. I don't mind that. I don't mind
it's
that.
A, it's but
I
like a fake the idea main perch.
I like the idea that there's a very difficult monster in here, but also the tools with which to potentially attack it. And then it's really up to the party to decide, is it worth it? Do we want to go in and grab up those magic items and have to fight these gargoyles? Or do we just close the door and walk away?
Let me... Now, remember, Paul, technically in original D&D, all magic swords were all intelligent to some degree. Let me just pitch another suggestion by ADB, who said, maybe one of them is a talking sword calling for help.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. I'm going off of the idea that this is an old temple, so I'm going to call this a once sealed scriptorium, just to give it a little bit more of a feel of what it was, this space.
Yeah.
Once sealed scriptorium contains skeletal remains on the floor and two nefarious looking gargoyles perched in the far corners. So now I'm getting a little more flowery with my text, because I'm just trying to evoke some of the ideas. So this is part of the writing style here, is that I try to, like, we come up with a lot of ideas and then I try to condense it down into as small text as possible, just to evoke these ideas without, like, leading the reader totally by the nose. So once skilled scriptorium contains skeletal remains on the floor, loomed over by two nefarious looking gargoyles perched in the far corners. An intelligent sword gripped by a intelligent sword, I don't know, lies on the floor, can't type, floor, calling out for aid.
I think I like that. Yeah. I like the statues, like, were formally, like, looking over the scriptorium as, like, guardians, and when the curse came, suddenly they became cursed too.
Do we have a number of gargoyles, Dan? I kind of, like, very arbitrarily am thinking of it as two, but did the dice support that?
Okay, so if the way the stats work out, if I roll low, it should be one, and if I roll high, it should be two. So the dice suggest just one, but if we want to make it two,
there could be two, but only one of them is still legitimate. Active. One is just a statue. I don't know.
You know, I like that.
What do you want, Dan?
Yeah, I like that.
Great. So I'll add a little text here that says, one gargoyle will animate and attack anyone entering the room.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, I like that. I like that. You know, and you could consider, I mean, this might be too much, you could consider, like, if adventurers leave and come back, the second one will animate, but we'll let the DM decide that. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so there's a nice bit here as we come up with ideas where we try then to, like, leave some doors open for interpretation, which I like. It's part of one of the things, right? I like about this format of this very light kind of one page dungeon style. I put it in air quotes because it's never one page, it's always two or three. But yes. Great, Dan. We're down to the last room, number 9. And I'll just remind us, this is the room that is on the way down the stairs and across down the hall and down more stairs to get to the dragons. The secret entrance to the dragon's lair, which I think we agree is not the way the dragon gets in and out, right? The dragon generally comes in through 1 to 3 to 11 and then through the secret door there.
Particularly now that we've got yellow mold covering up the secret door at 7. Yeah. So that suggests it's not being used a lot, right? So... and like with anything, if we have a bright idea for area 9, we can step in and just, you know, create something by fiat, or if something doesn't make sense, we can tweak it. So the dice, the completely random dice suggests that .6-1 suggests that it's empty with treasure.
do a treasure. I'm really kind of hoping that the treasure is some like really good anti-dragon something. Something that will be very helpful in the final fight with the dragon would be delightful.
Okay. So there's gonna be a bunch of dice. So I'm using my OED treasure system. So I'm gonna roll a whole bunch of dice here. If any ones that show up indicate some kind of treasure, and you might want to keep an eye on the purple die, because that would be the magic for what it's worth. Okay. Okay. So what I'm coming up with, so the yellow die came up once. So that's indicating gold is in here and nothing else. We can change that if we want.
I don't mind there being gold, but I would love for there to be some kind of magical item that would be of use in the final fight with the dragon.
Well, let's add that.
In this dungeon, I'll point out we've already hidden a scroll of neutralized poison somewhere, as well as a magical helmet, which we never defined as to what kind of magic that helmet has.
Correct. We need to fill that in. Let me just, you know what? I'm just so we have something here. Oh, shit. That's okay. That's the most I could have gotten. So that does suggest 120 gold pieces in Area 9, which, again, since we're running on the silver standard, is a pretty hefty haul, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this, it feels to me like this room is in fact the treasure room, right? This is the treasure room of the temple.
Yeah,
right? That's why it's behind a door and down here. So, treasure room containing a chest of how much gold?
120
gold pieces.
Which again would represent 1,200 experience for our adventures.
Yeah, that's great. Good haul. Can we chuck some kind of magical item in there as well? I would like that.
Definitely. Random roll or
something like plus one arrows or an anti-poison something or I don't know what. Something that is of particular use. As Joshua points out in the chat, should be something worth the fact that this root is completely horrible, maybe TPK. Which I agree, right? They had to come through. The fastest road through here is through Area 4, deal with the yellow mold, find a secret door, climb down here, get this treasure, continue on down, and end up in like the bottom of the dragon nest, which is full of noxious fumes and parasites and a dragon hanging from the ceiling over your heads, 50 feet over your heads. Something that maybe deals with the noxious fumes or the
I don't know. I mean, a staff of healing comes to mind, actually. Now, by the book, that just cures wounds. We could make an elaborate staff of healing that also cures diseases.
Yeah, I don't mind that. How is it presented, Dan? Is it like leaning discarded against the wall? Is it set up on a stand in a place of honor here? Is it obviously
I was going to use those exact words, Paul. No, I'm not kidding. I was about to blurt out, it should be on a stand in a place of honor. I almost said exactly those words.
Right. So, because it's a nice moment of paranoia for our players of like, that's got to be a trap. No, it's great. It's a wonderful staff.
Yes. Joshua is suggesting the name Rod of Asclepius, which I like.
Okay. On a stand in the center of the room is the rod of. I'm gonna type this. Asclepius. What is Asclepius? A historical reference? I don't recognize that name. What is that, Dan?
I think so.
Is that just made up? Joshua, did you just make that name up?
Asclepius is a hero and god of medicine in ancient Greek religion and mythology. He's the son of Apollo and Coronis.
So I'm writing, this is notes to us to add later, but I just wrote in parentheses, like staff of healing plus cure disease.
Yes. I like it. Ash had an idea of a mask of a plague doctor, which is a great idea. And you can use that to protect. You like that?
I do like that. I mean, both.
You like that?
Both? Are we getting? Is it getting too Monty Hall if I say both?
No, you know, we'll do both. Yeah. That's a good idea. And specifically, we need something to protect them from the fumes in the lower area. Just one person, though.
Yeah. A plague mask that grants immunity to the noxious
fumes. Just any noxious fumes. Just say any noxious fumes, so they can use it in other places, too. Or gases. Just any gases. I don't mind that.
Great. Grants immunity to noxious gases. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think we need this block anymore.
I like that that stuff's in Area 9, right, that's hard to get to. I really like that you really have to go through the most egregious crap to get that.
And I'm definitely imagining the very likely possibility of the players fight the dragon, someone falls down, finds the passageway up to 9, and then they go, damn it, this would have been so helpful.
Yes. Yes, that.
Okay, I just want to, I'm looking here at Area 11, which just says Forgotten Temple with a golden idol standing upon the platform on the east side.
Yeah.
I feel like it needs a little more text. Maybe I want to know what the value of the golden idol is, and I want to put something in here about how players, if the party enters, the dragon will likely slide out from the secret door and attack them from behind.
Oh, yeah. You gotta do that. Is that, I mean, we came up with that. Are we happy with that idea? Is there something more, is there something more elaborate we could do? Yeah. Well, just like more for that area. Just like idol here. Is that enough? Should there be like a trap associated, or should it be a fake?
I feel like a fake
treasure.
I mean, if it's a trap, I would want the trap to essentially be like, yeah, it's just a stone statue painted gold, and the whole thing is just it's just a ruse to get you in here, to get you attacked by the dragon.
I don't mind that, and that the Area 9 is the real treasure room that even at the beginning, even before the corruption, was hidden by two secret doors.
Great. So I'll just write here. The idol is a worthless stone statue painted gold. as players ascend the stairs, the dragon will emerge from Area 10 to attack from behind. Yeah.
Now, at the start of the chat, William had the comment that, you know, the dragon is, you know, fairly sizable. It's also diseased. It's wheezing. It's coughing. It should have a penalty to surprise the players. How do you feel about that? Like maybe surprise. You know, surprise is pretty bad in original D&D. Maybe surprise only on a 1 on a D6. But nonetheless, it's behind you. Yeah. You got to fight it. That's pretty bad already.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a nice setup for, I mean, when I look at the size of this room, right, I'm looking at the map here. When I look at the layout of this room, I'm imagining if the players come into 11, they go all the way across, they climb up the stairs to the platform, they're looking at the golden idol. At this point, they're in a really great position for the dragon to just come slide on out through that secret door and breathe his noxious cloud right at them. Right. So it's a really good attack sequence for the dragon. I am okay with saying something here. I'm okay with gimping it a little bit, right? Because it's a level 2 dungeon, and we're hitting them with a young green dragon, which is kind of horrifying. I'm okay. Oops, jumped around there a little bit. I'm okay with saying something like, as the players enter the stairs, the dragon will emerge to the area from Area 10 to attack from behind. It will only surprise on 1 in 6 due to wheezing and coughing.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. I like it. That's a good observation about that, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, this is, I like this.
It's just the grossest. It's one of the grossest dungeons I've seen. That's really interesting.
There's a couple of details I would like to hammer out, Dan, and maybe we can do this. When we decided to do a part two of this, one of the things that was requested is that we show some more of the process, because normally in a normal dungeon design dash, this is where we would end. It's a great done.
Yes.
Walk away. You'll see the finished product. We have a little extra time this time because we've taken a whole second episode. There's a couple question marks, like, and I think this is usually what we come back to, right? We can come back and stat the obvious things. I don't know. It's easy to look up the stats of a giant centipede or a veteran, but I would like to talk about the stats of the more difficult things, like the young green dragon or the dung parasites, things that are clearly like custom monsters that we just invented on the fly as we were in here.
Yeah.
So maybe we can do that. And then I would also recommend we go back to that magic helmet and specify what the heck that is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's magic item that we dropped with no details.
Yeah. What do you want to handle first?
Let's do the helmet because I think it's easier. And I feel like I don't really need anything. You know, I feel like we've done enough magic items that are clearly custom fit to the dungeon. And I'm totally okay with, like, if you have a list of magic helmets somewhere to just roll on a chart and see if it gives us something interesting.
So if I look at, you know, classic D&D, that helmets tend to be pretty powerful things. And so as of the Greyhawk supplement, they have a helm of reading magic and languages. They have a helm of telepathy, a helm of teleportation, a helm of brilliance, which like shoots out a whole bunch of light rays that can blind your enemies and stuff. And a helm of chaos, which would be a cursed item that flips your alignment. So those are kind of the canonical helmy type things. We can certainly customize something else.
Now the normal thing I would jump to, and I don't know if I'm going to get this open fast enough, is to go into one of my favorite old D&D publications and the only book that was published for both AD&D and basic D&D combined. Right. Which is the I can't try to even remember its name, right? It's AC4 or something like that.
Yes.
What am I thinking of, Dan? Something about miscellaneous magic.
I never used that. Tome of Magic or something?
No, I think it had a less.
Book of Marvelous Magic.
Book of Marvelous Magic. That's the one, AC4. And I just finally found the PDF. So we talked about it long enough for me to get the stinking thing open. Does it have any helms? I'm just going to quickly jump and see in the index. Helm, page 40. Let's jump to that and see if there's anything exciting here. What I've got is... oh my god. That is really annoying. Exactly the same helms you just listed out. Really? Really?
You know, I'm just, you're talking about that. I'm surprised that it's, that book is credited to, you know, it's supposed to be basic D&D. It's credited to Frank Mentzer and Gary Gygax, which I think says they're mostly representing stuff in original D&D mostly.
There's, you know, the other thing that jumped out at me is there's a section on hats. There's a hat of disguise, a hat of hairiness, right. A hat of hairlessness, and a hat of headlessness.
What?
Which, okay, I feel like the latter three are all just weird, cursed versions of the hat of disguise.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They're all just, they all begin with, this hat appears identical to a hat of disguise, but... Oh goodness. Okay, well, that was a lot of talking for not much result. you got a helm you like, or do you want to invent something off the cuff here?
You know, none of those are, I mean, those, I feel like most of those are either overpowered, or the reading magic and languages is nice, but it seems like I would want that as a player, but I feel like thematically, it's like there's nothing in this dungeon we've set that you could use that on. So that doesn't.
Again, I don't mind if it's not necessarily custom built to this dungeon, but I would like it to be something that is even remotely useful, you know?
So Ash has suggested just rolling for a random cleric spell and making an item that does that, and therefore it won't overlap with any OED stuff because I don't have clerics. I'm just going to see if I'll even roll on the Greyhawk table because there's more weird stuff there. Clerics. Did they not? Yeah, okay, here we go. Okay, so rolling for a level off screen. Okay, fifth level, and there's only six. Okay, the dice suggest dispel evil. You can't use that in this dungeon. That would be against like supernatural. That'd be like against supernatural Insect plague. You can cast an insect plague. helm of summoning insect plagues.
Oh god. Oh, that's awful. The irony. No.
the toads are eating, you know, the insects, so somehow it's weirdly idiomatic that they there was someone summoned an insect plague and those are like, great, look at this wonderful feast, and they gobbled them up, including their headgear.
Okay, I'm putting it in. It's a helm of insect plague. Right, so it can cast insect plague, what, maybe once a day?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in my imagination, it looks like an insect, right?
It has
it's a helm, right?
Yes!
So it looks.
Yes.
And that's why the toad ate it.
Oh.
It looks like a big,
I hate
like,
it.
Cricket or dragonfly or
I hate it so
something.
Much I love it. It comes right back around for me. That is brilliant. Yeah. Okay, thanks for that idea, Ash. That's quality. Nice.
Wait, what is it? What kind of insect does it style to look like? It's kind of weird that it's a helmet, but I'm just gonna say a beetle.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I was gonna go mosquito or a horsefly. Yeah. Cicada?
I'm seeing cicada. Styled to look vaguely insect-like.
It's not bad.
You figure it out. I don't want to decide. Up to you, DM.
You know what? Okay.
Yeah. No? You don't want to pass it off?
I think it's creepier to have it very, like me, I'm more creeped out by like, oh no, someone designed this. It's totally an insect. I really don't want it on my head.
Yeah.
Vague, I'd be like, I'm okay with it, but I'm like, if it's specifically designed like it.
I'll just get rid of the word vaguely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Cool. Excellent. I don't know. As much as I'm being a jerk and passing off to the DM, I know if I was running it, I would be kind of annoyed by that and be like, oh, I gotta think, what does this thing look like? And even now I'm kind of struggling. What does it look like? Does it look like an insect just perched on you? Does it look like, is it long? And then like,
I think it looks like the head. It looks.
Style to look like, the head of a giant multi-eyed fly.
Yeah, this. Yeah, great. Nailed it. Yeah, I agree. That's it.
Great. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Dan, I'm also noticing we left the treasure in Area 4 blank. I just noticed that it says treasure to do. I don't really remember that, but I guess we rolled that there was supposed to be treasure in the fountain. And we never put any treasure there. My instinct is the treasure should be what's blocking the fountain. The fountain is blocked up because something is jammed in there.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. All right. What does my green die mean? My dice suggest gems. My dice suggest gems. There aren't going to be a lot.
It's fine. A small pouch of gems is locked up the fountain, causing the.
Oh yeah, I'm supposed to. Right. Okay, I'll do that later. The dice suggest. Once again, I've rolled a d6, so maximum number of gems there. So the dice suggest 12.
Of 12 gems. Are we just going to give them one universal value? Do you actually want to roll 12 different values?
Which would be 100 silver pieces, what I just wrote.
Great. So a small fountain in the center has been blocked up by a small pouch of 12 gems, 100 silver pieces each, and flooded this space.
Nice.
Flies buzz around. Great. Excellent.
That's a pretty nice creature, actually.
Yeah, it's good. That's great. I love it. I like that there's a good amount of treasure in this dungeon, because it does feel like very deadly to me.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think often our dungeon design dashes are a little lacking in treasure, so I'm pleased.
Agreed.
Pleased.
That's something I actually kind of leaned into since our last one, is to specifically have a method that I can kind of quickly roll and generate some significant treasure here when we need to. So I'm glad to have that.
Dan, we just have a couple of minutes left here. Do you think we have time to give the dragon some stats?
Well, I would, maybe we'll just chat quickly about it. So remember and this, I think this tends to surprise you, Paul, in classic, because it's different in BX is why it's surprising.
Yeah.
In original or AD&D, dragons have a fixed number of hit points. And so a green dragon would probably have 8 hit dice, but if it's young, which is just the second category, that means it only has 2 points per hit die. So it would probably only have 16 hit points and do 16 points of damage with a breath strike. So I think that's why I said like young dragon at the outset, is that that's possible. It's possible. It might be a pretty quick deadly fight, but it's possible for some second level adventurers to, overcome that. I don't know if you want to modify that.
I'm fine with that. So the hit dice. Yeah. You said is 2? No.
It'd be 8.
No, it's 2. It'd be 8, but he's only got 2 hit points per hit die, so he's 16 hit points.
Right.
Right. What is he
and
got?
Remember in our... yes. Well, yes.
Which would be at +8. And the damage, according to BX, is at least 1d6. 1d6. 3 to 24. That is a hell of a bite.
Yeah, I would reduce that myself. I'd at least reduce the bite to 2d6 is what I do in OED.
Yep, that sounds good. I didn't fill in the EHD. I know that's the thing you want to do. I'm sure there's lots of math around that. That's fine. Anything else I should put here in the stats for this guy?
We can probably let's talk about like what the abilities would be, because again, this is a place where OADD branches off from BX. Is looking at both AD&D and Chainmail, right? Dragons have detection ability, like Smaug. Can, you know, detect invisible things when they want to, and also has a fear ability.
Interesting.
So in OED, I by default include that. I don't know if you're comfortable with that.
It's fine by me.
Yeah. So the special abilities would include fear and detection.
So would you put that as like special ability? Fear. You just write detection? That doesn't tell me much as a DM. What is it? detect it can see invisible. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then it's got a breath weapon, I assume.
Right. Which customarily is poison gas.
Yeah, poison gas, which makes sense. Does this tell me anything about that? No, it's just lots of text.
I'm just now, there's a suggestion from Ash, which I think is good to knock the damage down further because it's sick. So I could imagine, which makes sense. I could imagine making those dice D4s or something like that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say to reduce the attack bonus.
Well, that, you know, okay. So in OED, I do that. And what I would actually do would be I'd make it like about 5 because it's small.
Oh, you just do that generally by age?
By the hit points. Basically, hit points divided by 3. Right. So I'm prorating it. Like, so if you have 16 hit points, it's kind of like you have around 5 hit dice or 4 hit dice.
Hmm. Okay. I guess the question is, would you want to further reduce it for this creature because it is sick?
I like the suggestion. I like the suggestion of that, actually. Yeah. So...
Yeah, maybe we drop him down to
3 or 4 and knock the damage down to D4s.
To D4s. Yep.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, great. I like that.
Feels good. Cool. All right, Dan, we are definitely out of time. So this is where we're going to wrap it up. Wow. Any final thoughts on our dungeon design dash?
I'm so glad we got back to this, and I also am glad to fill in kind of what so we started out, we said, well, we haven't had like an introductory, you know, level 1 to 3 dungeon yet. So let's fill that gap in for what we have. So I like that, that we're filling in that first tier there, and that we are also providing a really, I think, canonical wandering DM's experience that in your first adventure, you may be wandering in this horrible, infected, mutated, gangrenous, leprous horror show, and it has some significant treasure in it. You might come out with some pretty nifty stuff, actually.
Yeah,
if you survive, if you dare.
If you survive this dungeon, I think you're going to level up. You know.
Yeah, I think that's true. You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome, kids.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty good adventure. I'm happy with how it came out. I like how the themes, you know, percolated into the design. That's great. I don't know, Dan, maybe we should consider down the road, maybe 2 episodes is the right length for a dungeon design dash. I wonder if are we pushing ourselves too hard by insisting that we got to get this done in just 1 hour. Let's think about that, because I'd like to come back to that.
Or we might have a more extensive, we might try a more extensive episode once of maybe like 90 minutes or something like that. Might be an idea. Yeah. I think I agree. I'm so glad we had the opportunity to come back to this, Paul, because this felt right to flesh it out. And I feel like I have a better understanding of what the dungeon's like, I think, which is a good feeling at the end of it.
Great. Viewers, if you have an opinion on what you would like to see for future dungeon design dashes, longer duration, multi-episode, or just, stick to it, guys. Get it done in an hour. Let us know. Leave us a comment here in the YouTube video, and we would love to know what you'd like to see for future dashes, because we enjoy doing them, and I think we're going to do another.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, remember that you can like, follow, and subscribe to us on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, GitHub, places like that. We have the handle Wandering DMs on all the sites. So please inoculate that like button.
If you prefer to listen to our show in audio-only podcast format, you can find those podcasts on our website at wanderingdms.com. We're also on various podcast carriers like iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher. If you're listening to this show right now on one of those sites and it gives the ability to do so, please rate and review our show. That helps other users of that site find us, and we really appreciate it.
We really do. And of course, big thanks to our patrons who support the show here. If you'd like to join them, please visit patreon.com/wanderingdms. You'll see our different tiers. And just like Paul said, at the top of the hour, we'll be there in about 10 minutes on our private Discord server to continue the conversation about our dungeon design dash here in our live video after chat with our patrons. So if you haven't done it already, we always love to see new faces in our after chat. So we'll be there in about 10 minutes or so. We've had a couple of weeks off with wonderful wandering things that we've been doing, but we'll be back next week. And don't forget, we're live almost every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So please join us again next week for another thought-provoking discussion.
We'll see you then.